a story entitled, "What Is This World Like?" God and man were walking on a road. The man asks God, "What is this world like?" And God says, "I cannot talk when I'm thirsty. If you get me a cup of cold, clear water, we'll have a good discussion about what this world is like. There's a village nearby. Please go and get me a drink." So the man goes to the village, knocks on the door of the first house. A beautiful young woman opens the door. His jaw drops, but he manages to say, "I'm here to ask you for a cup of cold water." "Of course," she said, smiling, "but it's midday. Please come in, stay for a while, and take some food with me." "I am hungry," he said, "and your offer of food is a great kindness." He goes in, and the door closes behind him. 30 years go by, and the man who wanted to know what the world was like and the woman who offered him food have married, raised children, 5 children. He's a respected merchant, and she's an honored member of the village, the community. But one day, there's a terrible storm that overtakes this village off the ocean, threatens their lives. And so the merchant, the man who was once sent for water, goes down on his knees and cries out to the living God, "God, God, please help me." And a voice from the midst of the storm says, "Where's my cup of cold water?" Yeah. My brothers and sisters, I think we live half lives in so many ways. We're very attentive about a lot of things. We're attentive about how we look. We're attentive about how much we make. We're attentive about our families, the people we love. We're attentive about our gardens. We're attentive about our golf. We're attentive about all kinds of things. And yet so often, isn't it true? We let languish that part of our lives. The part of our lives that gives us nourishment and strength and peace. The part of our lives we call our spiritual life. The part of our lives in which our God plays this incredible role, not only as creator, but as the very person that walks with us, journeys with us, cares for us, loves us more than we love ourselves. 30 years later, my brothers and sisters, he taps this merchant on the shoulder and says, where, my brother, is the cup of water? So you and I are given these wonderful, wonderful weeks. The problem is it's in the midst of the most difficult time, the busiest time of the year. Maybe it's planned that way, so that we can, in some form or other, take some tiny little practice, maybe, something that will help us to stay awake, to be attentive to this great gift that we are about to receive, to be attentive to the great person who guides and directs and has everything to do with who we are and what our lives are about. It's reading from John Shea about this woman, practitioner, a surgeon. And she, before she washes and purifies her hands before surgery, has a prayer, a Jewish prayer that she says, a purification, just to remind her that she's not in charge of everything. She is not God. She does not have the judgment over life and death. Part of her practice, just a reminder. Maybe it's getting up early in the morning and spending just a little time in these next few weeks. Some little thing that will just, maybe a little thing from the Magnificat or some little prayer or something that will just, invade our lives so that we are remembering, never forgetting the great gift that is given to us, Emmanuel. I would hope, my brothers and sisters, that we would stay awake. We have two things that I would just share with you that are a little bit bigger than those little practices that can inundate our day. One is this wonderful man, Jim Finley. He's going to be with us next Saturday. Jim is an extraordinary man. I don't know where in the name of God we got somebody like this in our parish. But Jim has this way, this person. Now he's got the leisure to do it because that's his life. He writes and he reads and he lectures about Thomas Merton, one of the great spiritual people of actually this last century. And Jim is with us, and he's going to do a little practice with us at the end of this month of December. But ever before we get there, we have a full day with Jim this Saturday. I can't imagine that we wouldn't have thousands of people. We'd probably get 50 or 60, but I couldn't imagine why we wouldn't get thousands of people to listen. I hang on to his every word, and I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I've heard the best of him. This guy is just incredible. His insights into our spiritual journey. Think about that. It's in our little bulletins. You'll see the information about that. Maybe it's just this time when we do adopt a family. Maybe just some reminder of another family who journeys with us in this city, who needs our time, our attention, our care, who is so far less. And that reminds us not only of the goodness of God and the bounty of God, but it reminds us of the gratitude that we must experience and have and keep. I read this article by Peter Steinfels this week, and it just frightens me to death. He says that a third of the people who are baptized Roman Catholics have left us. A third. Can you imagine that? A third of our church is out there somewhere. What are we doing? And I'm not suggesting that St. Monica's is the end-all be-all. We're not. We're a very messy community. And I wouldn't blame people from walking away in some ways, from St. Monica's, because we ask a lot and we're messy. But I just think that there is such a great need. Maybe someone in your family, someone during this season that you could just take by the arm and say, come once. Smell the incense. Look inside. Listen to that good word. We promise you, you will be nourished and you will be fed. And so I would hope that our practice in these days would be something that we could all attend to and reflect on. I'm going to do my best to. I ride every morning, as you know, and I know you're sick of listening to me talk about that, but I have some time there in the morning, and I'm going to be even more attentive because I think you can, spin out even in those great moments when you're alone. I just end with a story that I've known and heard from William Barclay, who was he was a wonderful man. He wrote way, way, way back in the early days of the 1920s and 30s and 40s. And he wrote a commentary on the scripture, and he tells this great story. And I just think for this first week of Advent, it's important for us to hear. He says, before they departed, Satan asked each of the people who were his apprentices. He had apprentice demons. You know, we all have apprentices. Well, Satan had apprentice demons. And he asked each of them how they were going to tempt and how they were going to ruin humankind. So his first apprentice said, Satan, I will tell the people that I meet that there is no God. And Satan looked and said, oh, young demon, that will not delude many, because most people know that there is a God. And he said, now you, second demon, what will you say? And he said, I will tell them that there is no hell. And Satan said, oh my goodness, you will deceive no one, for they also know that there is a hell for those who are unrepentant. And so he said, now you, third demon, what will you say? And the third demon looked at Satan, his master, and said, I will tell them there is no hurry. So I think we do need to hurry. We really only have today. We only really have this Advent. Who's to know? Remember that great list? Who's to know whose names will be there next year? I think postponement of those things in our life that we know that we really do need to do and to be, those are the things I would hope that might be for us this day, and that indeed we do hurry. And so, my sisters and brothers, let's really appreciate this wonderful time, this Advent season. On Wednesday of this week, one of the very important things in our world, AIDS and HIV positive, will be placed before the entire world. And we are going to gather, Dale Sieberlin has gathered some of our ministers, sisters and brothers, who lead other congregations in Santa Monica. And we're going to come into this church at 6 o'clock this coming Wednesday, and we're going to pray for those people, especially those people who are dying of AIDS, people who know they have so little time left. And we're going to gather here and ask you to join us in a prayer that we, like them, will relish, appreciate, understand every day, every minute, and that you and I will indeed believe this Advent. Indeed, we are celebrating the coming of Emmanuel, God who is with us. Amen.